Would you stand with me for prayer? O most holy one, we come to you. We're here on the planet where sin and all the evil is. And we have the light of God. We have the presence of God. And oh Lord, when we look at ourselves, we just see so many needs. And God in heaven, I come to you this evening as a needy person, and I pray, oh God, would you somehow put your hand on our shoulder, put your spirit within us, and God in heaven, speak to us tonight. Don't pass us by. Don't be so busy in China and ministering to those saints in prison, Lord, but come and visit us tonight. Thank you for being here, and we claim you as our wonderful Savior, our everlasting Father, the beautiful one. And we bless you, and we adore you, and we want to glorify you tonight. I pray in Jesus' name that you would come with your holy anointing, and God in heaven, let the anointing of the Holy Spirit flow through thy servant and the listeners and all of us. Help us to be connected with you tonight so that from the throne of God might come answers and might come direction and might come peace and rest for our souls. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for these men. Thank you, God, for these godly men, leaders, those that have been called by you. Oh God, would you somehow prepare us tonight to be a better sanctuary for your presence? And thank you so much. We ask in Jesus' name now that you would bind the powers of darkness, the demons and devils in Jesus' name. And help us, Lord, to be free and clean and clear. And don't let there any hindering spirit be here tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the victor. And that you have taken victory over the enemy and over the devil and all those powers. And tonight we are not fighting in defeat for victory, but we're fighting in victory to retain it. And God in heaven bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And greetings in the name of Christ. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. And it is a wonderful thing to, I noticed something here. I've noticed it in years past, that when godly men, holy men, men that have their hearts turned towards God, not only men, but women as well, sisters, would work the same way. But when we all unite our heart to hear from God, there is a beautiful, powerful presence of the Holy Spirit with us. He is so welcome here. And He wants to be with us. And it's so beautiful. I don't know. The message that I am to preach this evening is titled, Crying Out to God. Crying out to God. Maybe you came. I don't know you and what is the motivation or maybe the urge that's in your heart that brings you here. But no doubt, being in the battle, the battle for the kingdom of God myself, I know that there is a lot of battles and struggles going on. And maybe you came here discouraged. I think I can safely say that probably every meeting we had in this place, there were discouraged men, discouraged leaders, discouraged ministers of the gospel here. If that's you tonight, I want to share something with you. Maybe you have been facing a lot of criticism, a lot of accusations, a lot of pushback as you present the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. There's an enemy out there, and that accuser, I just finished a series of messages on the accuser of the brethren that wants to accuse us. He'd like to do it, and he does it. And then if he can't do it, he'll try to enlist others to join them to work against us. I don't know. I trust you're here encouraged. I have been very encouraged. But maybe that's how you came. Maybe you felt, and maybe you have been, like the term is, thrown under the bus. I want to share a truth with you tonight that has been life-changing for me as I approach my God, crying out to God. Is there an answer for us? Is there a way that we can get to God in a more closer, deeper way? What have the saints of old done? And maybe we're missing something. I want to share with you some truth about this. I want to give you a scene, an illustration, a scene that happened to help you maybe understand what's on my heart. Some years ago, I was in Romania. I went over there. Obviously, you know what I used to work, and I'm retired now. But I used to go over there once or twice a month or a year, and I would spend time at the orphanage and those precious little children. And this time that we were over there, I was over there with my family, and we were there to meet, talk about the program, and so on, help give guidance. And we were in a house about a minute or so away from the orphanage. These children were at that time maybe, I don't know, the oldest ones would have been maybe teenagers, but the younger ones were maybe more in their 10, 11 year old. And I was there in our house in one evening, and we had some missionaries there working. And we had a missionary there that was working in the electrical house. There was a house there that had where all the voltage came in and then distributed down to the barns and everywhere to the houses and the orphanage. And I got an urgent call. And this young man that had been doing the maintenance there he's from the States here, from Pennsylvania, was in this electric place where the voltage is 480 volts, and he was working to change a ground, and one of the orphanage boys or girls was standing there watching him, while he was concentrating in what he was doing, he wasn't watching his elbow, and he got into 480, and it threw him back, and he was lying there, and this girl came crying to the director and said that Steve is lying there. He got into electricity. And on the way down, the director called me, and I came over there real quick. And when I walked and came in there with our car that I was driving, I pulled in there, and there were 50 some children there on their down in the grass in little groups, just little ones and twos and threes. And they were just crying out to God for Steve. And they were crying, and I've never seen and experienced something like that. These children were not just looking and observing. They were seeing Steve was in cardiac arrest, and he was lying there, and the director was there trying to revive him, and I came in there. And as these children were crying out to God, something happened in heaven. He should be dead today. But he walked out of that place. He wasn't breathing. He was cyanotic. He was blue. And as these children cried out to God, God heard something. And God answered those little prayers. And he got up and he walked out. That was on a Saturday, and Sunday he was in church. We could have easily had a funeral had it not been for the crying out of those little children. And my friends, this evening I want to share with you about crying out to God. Sometimes we as leaders get to a point where we don't know what to do. We have no idea where to go with my situation. We don't know what to do. We're discouraged. We're done. It's finished. I've talked to one person, he said, I'm done. It's over. I'm going to leave the church. Is there no hope for us? I know I'm talking to some of you that know what it is to be in dire straits and very difficult situations. I want you to listen to the message tonight, because there is a hope, there is an avenue, there is a truth in the Word of God that I think many of us are not reaching and maybe don't understand. I want to share from the Word of God about this. Before I go there, I would like to give you two truths leading up to the message of crying out to God, if I may. You know, when we were ordained, and I think probably everyone here has been, when those hands were laid on you, the charge was given, you were prayed for, and then you went home. I don't know if it was for you like for me. How do I lead? How do I preach? What do I do now? And how do I do it? Some gave me CDs and books and console. Listen to this. Go to this conference, this seminar. Talk to this person. We get such a holy desire to be godly leaders. But how do we do it? And I'm using the word leader tonight. I know that could be. Sometimes we talk about under shepherds. Sometimes we talk about leaders. Sometimes, bear with me. I want to share with you a truth here. I want to look at what godly leaders don't know. Godly leaders don't know how to lead. Godly leaders don't know how to lead. And I'm one of those. I don't know how to lead. They only know how to follow. Godly leaders only know how to follow. They lead by following. They become intense followers, deeply connected to the Holy One. They're often on their face, crying out to God until it's clear, until the direction is given. The greatest leader in the whole Bible was not a leader, but a follower. I'm going to take you to Exodus 14. I just want to share these two truths as they relate to the crying out that I want to share with you later. First, we must understand that I cannot lead. I don't know how to lead. Maybe I should ask this question. Is anyone here that knows how to lead the flock of God? Exodus 14. The greatest leader was Moses. He was a leader, but he was not a leader. He was a follower. Look at it. In Exodus 14, looking at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and there they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Verse 24, and the Lord spake, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Here we see that Moses didn't know how to lead, and what he did is he went to God. He went to God. That's how we learn to lead. We don't lead. We only know how to follow. I have been maybe like you have been. There were times when I have said, God, I don't know how. I don't know what to do. How do I lead? How do I help? What do I do in this situation? And I had no answer and I didn't know how. And that's when we need to go to God and learn that we don't know how to lead. You find out how to lead by following God. I think we need, maybe in our minds, this illustration or this, maybe it's an illusion, that we see God, there He goes, and here I come. That's how we follow. And then we bring our people, and we together, there goes our God leading us, and here we as leaders follow, and we get our people to follow. That's how we lead. There's young preachers here, some that have just been ordained. If you want to know how to lead, just learn how to follow God. Moses made a great mistake. Leaders have made mistakes, and we will continue until we learn how to follow. I'm convinced that in the Church of Jesus Christ today and in our congregations, we're often missing God's heart as we face issues. We must go back to God. But you know, we do pray, but I don't hear anything. I want to share some things with you. In Numbers 20, I want to share something with you here. I'm trying to lay a little foundation for us so that we don't come to the point where we think we know, we become so experienced in leading that we think that we know how to lead these people. One of the greater works that God has done in Moses' life was to get him to the point where he was spent so much time on his face before God that he lost his ability, he lost his interest in being the big leader. He just found out how to follow. He made a big mistake. Numbers 20, just a couple verses here I want to read, 2-4. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die here? Verse 6, And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak, yea, unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth this his water. And Moses, verse 9, And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. The people complained, No water. We would rather be back in Egypt. Moses cried out to God. God said, Speak to the rock. But Moses hit the rock. A great mistake for a leader is to do something that God has not told us. He made this great mistake. Failure to follow barred Canaan for this godly leader. He had a perfect record until he didn't follow. Let me just share another truth that I believe is so important before we go to crying out to God. Godly leaders know one truth that has really, really spoken to me some years ago. They know they have a secret. It's not a secret, but a secret place. In Psalms 91, I want to just read two verses to you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. One thing that godly leaders find is they find a place where they can go and pour their hearts out. But there's some things about this place. Many visit this secret place. There's a secret that the world does not know. And I'm not sure that all saints spent their time here. Few dwell there. Some run to it at times when life is hard, pain is strong, path is confused, but they don't dwell there. Notice here it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he stays there. He spends time there. This is where he lives. This is where he dwells. It's in the deep waters with God. It's where God is. And as God is there, that's where we go when we have all these confusing things. We heard a lot this afternoon. And I thought about the age that we're living in. We're living in an age, brothers, that I believe we need to rise up and see that it's easy for us to look back and see history and say, oh, that was, yeah, we can easily discern history, but can we discern the age that we're in now and what God is demanding and calling us to? If we are to lead the flock of God into the corridors of heaven, we're going to need to be followers of what He says. Followers. We need to cry out to God. We need to be people that know what it is to cry out to God. And I am not convinced that everyone knows how to cry out to God. And I didn't know, and I don't even know today. Only thing I know, I don't know how to lead. I only know how to follow. But I know that when we dwell in this secret place of the Most High, we spend time there with the Most High. You know, godly leaders have a driving passion for God. He's in total pursuit of God. He wakes up at night to enter the secret place, to cry out to God, to pray, to weep like Mary did at the feet of Jesus. I wonder sometimes, have we ever been at Jesus' feet and made Have we ever made Jesus' feet wet with our tears, with our weeping and our crying before God, because God saved us? I think Mary was there weeping because of her salvation that she experienced. It was beautiful. You know, godly leaders learn to cry out to God. No man is greater than his prayer life. You know, to be used much for God, we must be much with God. Let me share a couple things now concerning crying out to God. You have had, and we all have had, many calls of very sad church situations. Those that cause people to pray. But you know, we can get so used to battles among our people that we can't cry out to God anymore. We get in the defensive mode. We start just becoming numb to these battles. But God wants us to rise up and start crying out to Him. We are people that pray. We have prayed a lot. We pray often. We have special times of prayer. We pray in bed. We pray in our vehicle going down the road. We pray, we pray, we pray. We pray. We have had lots of time praying. But does our prayer do something? Brothers, look at those little orphan children.
What is missing often in my prayer that was present in the life of those little children? I want to share something that I believe makes the difference. I did not see for years something in the Word of God, and it has smitten my soul and sent me to my knees in a new way. Most of my life, I assumed that praying and crying out to God were synonymous, was one and the same. I'd like to show you some things tonight. The Bible makes a distinction between praying and crying out. Turn with me to Psalms 39. I'd like to show you a word from the Lord here. How was it here? Psalm 39, verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. Notice, hear my prayer and give ear to my cry. I want to look at another. Let me maybe share. I don't know if I am saying this right, but the word prayer here in Hebrew is tefillah, and the word cry is shawa. In Hebrew, it's two different words, praying and crying. Hear my prayer, my tefillah, O Lord, and give ear unto my shawa. Why is those two different words? Because there's two different meanings. There are 17 Hebrew and Greek words that all mean the same, to cry out. Psalms 55, verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray, and cry out aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Will I pray and cry? Again, there's a distinction between the two. Psalms 102, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Again, we're looking at tefillah and shawah. Crying out to God is not about the decibels, but the intensity. God measures prayer not by time. If we pray 10 minutes, we get more answers. It's not time, but it's desperation. I believe one of the things that is often missing in our prayers, as we pray for my heart, pray for myself, pray for the flock, pray for that situation in our church, I think sometimes the reason, maybe I'm just exposing myself, I believe there's time when I am not desperate enough to cry out to God. I only pray. But in desperation, when those 57 children were on their face and were crying and holding up their hands and were just weeping because one of their favorite missionaries was being killed and was lying there dead in their minds and how it looked. And they were calling on this God that is able to help us. They were desperate. And I believe one of the reasons we don't get answers to dealing with our issues is because we don't cry out to God. We're not desperate enough. We only pray. I'm not diminishing prayer. The Bible is very clear. We need to pray. But brothers, in our last days and with the churches we have, and the flock we have, and all the pressures that are coming in and trying to take our little lambs away, and we see people going astray, and we see people leaving the churches disillusioned, and as leaders we should not say, okay, well, he wasn't a part of us anyhow, let's let him go. We need to send the cries of our heart after God for that soul. Not just the prayers. I think it's a level of praying that we often miss. I want to share some other stories with you to help illustrate this. Desperation and neediness. It's desperation and neediness. It's not the decibels. It's the desperation. How desperate are you that young person is actually got caught in porn? How desperate do you feel about that? Well, you know, brethren, can we all pray for that person? Yeah, we'll all pray for that person. But who is willing to cry out for that person? There's an addiction, there's a struggle, there's a deep, and there's a soul. And we need to somehow get a hold of God in a way that, and I know I could be misunderstood here. Crying out to God might be seen tonight as just raising our voices to God. Some of the crying out to God, and I'm going to share with you, have been deep weeping, not even saying anything, but deep feelings of desperation in our hearts. And when we do that, God is listening. God is hearing. God wants to know how serious are we when we tell Him, you know, God, there's a problem here. God, there's a problem. This person is lost. This person is going the wrong way. Desperation. I want to take you to Revelation 3. I want to look at this church. Just quickly. In our age, the last church generation has a character that I want to show you. I know we were looking at, Brother John was looking at generations. I want to look at this. My understanding is that the last church is the church that we read about in Revelation 3. And this is what it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The character of the lukewarm church, of the end time church, there's a pressure to become lukewarm. And here is the thing that I believe the Bible is telling us here. These people are, there's a great need. The characteristic here that we see, we find in verse 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing." We don't need anything. People don't need God. They need a little bit of God, enough to soothe their conscience. But they don't. There's people today that just want to just get by to heaven. They have need of nothing. You know, we need to see ourselves and my own heart as a needy person. I am needy. I have need, and I stand here this evening. I was crying out to God this afternoon. I see myself as such a needy person. You might think that it's okay. But I'm needy. I need my God. And it's so easy in our day to have need of nothing, and we don't know that we are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And that's the character of the end time church. And my friends, my fellow laborers, co-laborers with God, we need to rise up and cry out to God for our people. There are people that don't today in our churches that they really don't see the need. They don't see their needs. And it is very difficult to lead. I've been crying out to God. I've seen some tremendous revivals among our Anabaptist people over the last 28, 29 years of preaching. Wonderful revivals. I grew up in an area where there were tent meetings, and I saw people walk down that aisle by the dozens and even hundreds. I come from that. I've seen it. I know what God will do when we cry out to God. But we need to see that we have a need. And maybe if all of us it would be a wonderful thing if we, just us here, could just get the vision of crying out to God for our people and for this last generation. And we could bring holiness, that I long for that wave of holiness to come back. That wave that just sets people free. I was talking to one brother today that had been sharing about one of the ministers that got caught in the ungodly impure sexual things. And he repented and blessed the Lord for that. That's a wonderful thing. But you know what? I asked him, how many other people are caught in this thing, and they're just, you know what we need to do? Something is blocking the revival of our people. They have need of nothing. But tonight I must see my own need. And as I see the need in my own heart, maybe if we could all just see the need. That was my prayer this evening, that I could see the need of my own heart. I just want to see how needy I am. You know, we have tried all kinds of ways to revive, to recover what is gone, to bring back holiness. The first love. We have preached. We have preaching. We have teaching. We have seminars. We have conferences. We have revival meetings. We have Bible schools. We're contending and debating the Scriptures. We have tried to figure it out. We try this. We offer this. We lose this, we leave this, we change this, and it's still the same. And I want to say to us tonight, is the answer to come back to a principle of crying out to God, getting desperate before God, serious before God, intense before God, for the souls of our people, the souls of my children? You know, impossible and unable situations brings desperation and an end to our self-confidence and sets senses into our closets of crying out to God. Oh God, I remember Mihai Horef was the church leader of the unregistered Baptists in Moldova. Man of God spent, I think if I'm right, 21 or 23 years in prison. He was the man. He told me one day, he said, I was in prison and it was so cold in the winter. And there he lay in his little, on the floor on a little mat. And he said the rats would come in there and they would come up and they would crawl up his pant legs. And he said he knew that if he would scare them, they would bite and then they would smell the blood and they would almost kill him. And so he said, there I lay at night and there were the rats in my pant legs. All for the sake of God. And he just cried out to God. But he told me this story. He said, I had a sister that was very poor and very needy. And she needed help. She didn't have food. She came to me. And she said, this was after he was out of prison, or maybe before he went in. He said, the sister came and said, brother, I have no food. Can you please help me? And he said, sister, don't hold out your hands. Lift up your hands and cry to God. He's the one that will help you. You know, maybe we are just looking for that button, looking for that seminar, looking for that place, looking for that truth. Something that will change things in our church, change things in our home, change things in our life. I want to say tonight, Look at this principle. Get a vision of crying out to God. Go back in your woods. Go back in the haymow. Go back somewhere if you're concerned about someone hearing you. Cry out to God. I believe if 100 pastors like you here tonight, if we could, somehow God could just speak to our hearts to unite ourselves, or maybe just our ministry at home, and we could just spend time to cry out to God with deep desperation. Let me share my own experience. I never shared it here, but I did share it at times. I was a person that was, I was serving God and I was trying to walk with God. But I was not a broken man. I needed to go back to Jabbok. God gave us a little girl. We didn't have any children. We had this little girl. And this little girl was so special to us, so wonderful. But she didn't grow. And then she started to cry. And she cried. And we prayed. And my wife prayed. And I prayed. And we saw something was wrong. We took her to many different hospitals and doctors and went to Phoenix, Arizona, Des Moines, Iowa. Went to local hospitals and doctors and went all over trying to find the answer. We prayed, we prayed. We fasted, we prayed. One evening, she was just started crying a lot that day. We took her to the hospital and they said, take her home and just take care of her. We brought her home and she started crying at 6:30 in the evening and cried till 5 o'clock the next morning. Her skin was turning black. She was lying there, looked like a little African child, just starving, little bones sticking out. We were praying to God. We had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. We prayed and we prayed more and we prayed for 3 years. We prayed and prayed and prayed more. And we just kept praying and people kept praying. But that night at 3 o'clock, we couldn't do anything. At 3 o'clock, my wife and I got down on our knees in front of our sofa. And there, we didn't pray anymore. We started crying out to God. God, we're done. It's over. I don't know how to help this little girl. We can't do anything. It's over. I'm done. And God showed me something that I had hidden in my life. I had a sin I committed 10 years earlier, and I was not doing the sin, but it was a horrible, ungodly sin. And it was very wicked, but God forgave me. I said to myself, God forgave me. I don't need to go to the brethren. I don't need to do anything. But as we were on our knees there, my wife was weeping. I was weeping. I was praying. I confessed all those things. And that night, we were desperate. You know, you cannot get used to seeing a loved one suffer like that. And we were desperate, desperate. God. And we finally prayed until we couldn't pray anymore. And then all we did is just wept. We wept there for 2 hours. We were on our knees. And as we started crying out to God, just crying and weeping before Him, all of a sudden, you know, God broke my heart that night. I went through a brokenness that night like I had not experienced in years. I was finished. I was done. I was so desperate. And my point is, It's in great desperation, my friends, that the God of heaven will hear and will come and will help us. We're not without help. You don't have a church that is without help and without hope. There is hope for all of us, whatever your situation is. But we need to cry out in desperation at times, and God hears us. He heard us that night at 5 o'clock, 2 hours of praying and weeping before God, and all of a sudden she was completely quiet. And we thought she went home to be with the Lord. We went over, looked in over her little crib there, and there she was, resting and sleeping. Hadn't slept for I don't know how many nights. Crying out to God. Is there a power? You know, we can't do it. We need the power of God. It's the power of God that we need in our ministry. We need in our life. You know, it takes humility to cry out. When we cry out, we are done. The desperation we're done. It's when heaven moves, it's when we are done. Crying out is a declaration that I am of my helplessness and my desperation for the power of God. Men that cried out to God, many saints have cried out to God in the past. Two men, both leaders, cried out to God in the past. Both leaders. The one was the meekest man on earth, the Bible says. And the other one was the man after God's own heart. Who were they? Moses and David. Let me read to you. Exodus 8:12. And Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. Exodus 15:25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Exodus 17:4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me. David. Psalms 18:6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Psalm 32, verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. Psalm 30, verse 8, I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. Psalms 88:1, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. Psalms 119:145, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. Psalms 120, verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Psalms 130, verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O God, O Lord. Psalms 138, 3, in the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Crying out to God. Men of God, cry out. Psalms 107. Verse 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. We have a lot of distress in our leading and in our ministry. A lot of distress. You know, there was a time when I would go out for meetings and I would just hope that I wouldn't get a call of something. It seemed like every time I went, there was something in the church that went wrong or needed attention or something. And I was in distress. Verse 12. Well, let me read 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Verse 18, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. That is our God. But notice that they cried unto the Lord. It doesn't say they prayed. It's one of those 17 Hebrew words that are used to describe what they did. They didn't pray. They cried unto the Lord. We had a brother in our church some years ago, not in the church where I'm at now. This brother, he was married, young married, had one child. He got on a truck and started on a semi and started to do some hauling long distance against what the church felt would be wise to help him stay saved. He took his own way, went his own way. We started praying as a church. We prayed for him. And the church prayed for him. And there was a lot of prayers for him. But he didn't change. He didn't change. It just didn't work. It seemed like, God, where are you? Why doesn't he? Lord, whatever it takes, just chasten him or bring him back. Do something, God. Nothing happened. One Saturday morning, Number of brethren were on their knees praying. When all of a sudden, a tremendous burden came upon one of the brethren for this brother. And he started praying, crying out to God. And then the others prayed and they cried out to God. And finally, all those that were praying there were crying out to God for this soul. And finally there was no cry, no praying anymore, no crying out to God. And all you could hear is the weeping of those brethren. They just wept and wept and wept for that soul. That afternoon, that soul called one of the ministers and said, I'm at the end of myself. I can't go on anymore. And he came and he knelt and cried and repented. We didn't even know that. Those that were there didn't know that. The next morning, Sunday morning, one of the ministers said, I was not in the ministry at that time. One of the ministers said, we have a brother here that wants to share something. And Kenny got up and he confessed all his sins. And God set him free, quit his trucking, followed God, was marvelously saved. Today, he's a preacher preaching the gospel. But you know what? We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and you have too. And you're thinking of someone, maybe in your church, maybe in one of your, maybe it's your, I don't know. Maybe it's a son or a daughter. Maybe it's a cousin. Maybe it's one of your members. You're thinking about it. And I want to say to you, God has an answer for us, but men, we need to get desperate before God for the souls of men. We need to travail, and I want to look at this travailing in agony in prayer. You know, when life is easy, we cry for pain, but not for God. There's a lot of anxiety today, but it's usually money related or fear related. Not for souls among our people. Children are going astray. Sons are leaving home. Husbands are leaving their wives. You know about it. We've had awful disappointments among us. Fathers are falling into adultery. Men are captured in porn. Young people are disillusioned and confused because they don't see the power of God working among us. And all I know to say tonight is, I don't know why this message, I'm preaching this message, but I'm preaching it with a burden on my heart for us and our children and our future. We need to be men that the big thing when we get ordained is preaching. How do I preach? My friends, I would like to say tonight, maybe we need to be more concerned about how can I cry out to God so that God can come and save my son, save my daughter, save our people, save our young people, help our fathers to not get into these ungodly things. Oh God, help us. It's my burden tonight. I don't know anyone in your churches, but I'm just saying to you tonight, look at this principle of getting serious and desperate with great intensity. Let's start crying out to God. And one thing you know, it is God's will that no one is lost. You're not praying and crying against the will of God. You are only trying to release God to do what He wants to do. He wants to save us all. He wants to help us all. And oh, could it be like Kenny? Could it be that if we would start weeping before God, getting real before God, cleaning our hearts and making sure, and then going on with deep crying like David did, like Moses did. He said, they're going to stone me and I don't know what to do. God, I need help. You know, that's where we're at times. Helpless, we feel. It's not hopeless, but we're always often helpless. But God is the great power. We need the power of God, not the power of Paul, not the power of the Anabaptists, not the power of our wonderful brotherhood and our wonderful... We need prayer, but we need the power of God among us. And we get it when we get serious and desperate. How were you ever saved? Remember the night you were saved, the time you were saved? Didn't you weep before God and you confessed your sins? And you were serious, you were desperate, you were done. God heard it and saved you. Oh, that was my experience, and I bless God tonight for doing that. Oswald Smith said, if you cannot weep for the lost soul, you don't have enough burden and love to get them saved. Jesus was in great agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says, and being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly. He cried more to the Father, more earnestly, and His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke 22:44. Jesus was in agony. Well, what was His agony? Can someone tell me? He was in agony about something. Brother Dale is saying it was for Him. I know it was for me. He was in agony, but when have we been in agony for a soul that went astray? Sometimes we get so mutilated by all the back and forth that by the time a person leaves, we kind of say, oh, now we have rest. No, we cannot rest. Jesus cannot rest. He cannot rest. Why is He waiting and not... You know, this world has been ripe for judgment for years already. Why doesn't He come then and get us? Because He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anyone lost. But He travailed in Gethsemane for the souls of all of us here. Can we get serious with God where we cry out and are desperate, oh God, save this person? I wondered already. I don't know. Could there be people lost in hell because we are not desperate enough to save them? God is not willing that any should perish, but we are sometimes. Isaiah 66:6 says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth children. When Jesus was riding towards Jerusalem, and when He was come near, He beheld the city, Jerusalem, and wept. And that word in Greek means wailed aloud. Can you imagine or think about Jesus? He looked over the city, and all His compassion, He got so desperate that He wept aloud for the lost sheep in Jerusalem. Paul said in Galatians 4:19, my little children, in whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. Maybe there's a new level of work that we have to do instead of just finding out how to preach. But finding out from God, how can I get such a desperate burden for those that are turning cold and lukewarm and those that have need of nothing and they know not that they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Is there no hope for this generation? Can we not bring the lukewarm people back? Can we not bring them back? I think there's hope. But it may take more weeping and more crying and more desperation and more intense focus on the souls of men than what I have had in my past ministry. Is the last generation of church leaders like we are today, do they need to not just do the same we always did, but preach the everlasting gospel with holy fire, anointed words at the pulpit, and powerful praying? No one knows, but we need to spend time with God until if we want to really get the power of God. You know, we need to get close to God. We need to get close to Him, and the closer we get, the more He shows us the need in my heart, and the more I see me, the more I need to get on my knees. May the power of God come upon all of us. Burdened saints, leaders, move heaven to action. In conclusion, I will ask a question and then close. Is there someone crying out to God for us and our people? Or are we just praying? I won't diminish the praying. We need to pray. It's in the Bible. We want to pray. But there's times when we have to be desperate. Things are just going wrong. One church leader sent me an email and he said, the church is going wrong and I can't do anything about it. If that's you tonight, let me tell you, there is something to do. Start crying out to God. Get a hold of God. God is with you. It's His will that the church would be a holy church, a pure church, a clean church. He's waiting to bring His bride home. And He wants it pure, without wrinkle. And it's our responsibility to help iron the church with the holy Word of God and the work of God in prayer and crying out to God. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, tonight we know that You love all of us. We know that You love our people. We think of our church people at home. I think of those families, Lord. I think of those teenagers. And Lord Jesus, tonight we just pray, oh God, open to us the avenue in Your Word that many of Your saints of old have learned that I had not known. And God in heaven, give us hope tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus, to come back to You in a deep, deep yearning desire and travail and agony for the souls of men, like You travailed and like You agonized until You were sweating for my soul and our souls. God in heaven, help us to be more like You and have the feelings of souls more like You. Have the concern of souls, our people. Oh God, help us, help all of our families, our fathers and our mothers and our and the children of every church that is here, Lord. Help every pastoral team, Lord. All the ministers, Lord. Help them to find God in a way that is deep and deeper, and crying out to God and finding the hope in Jesus Christ. Bring the power of God upon our people again. And Lord Jesus, give us repentance, the gift of repentance. And thank You for that wave of holiness that You will bring to us again. Thank You for these men and their families, Lord, and their church. Bless them, O God. And thank You for showing us in Your Word and showing to me, Lord, I just humble myself before You. Help me to not forget what You showed me, Lord. God, there is hope for us. Help us not to be discouraged. Help us to rise up and know the answer is our God, and to touch God and bring Him back in a way that will send people away from their sins into repentance and fruitfulness again in our congregations. Thank You so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.